Let me start with the Texas Senate race, because I think the political dynamics there are instructive for the broader state of Democratic strategy in 2026. Tallarico, the Democratic nominee, is dealing with attacks from both President Trump directly and from his Republican opponent, Ken Paxton, and his response, calling them corny nicknames and vowing to focus on affordability, is a deliberate strategic choice. Rather than engaging the culture war framing his opponents are offering, he's trying to keep the race about kitchen table economics, housing costs, energy bills, healthcare expenses, in a state where inflation hit lower and middle-income families particularly hard.
What makes the Texas race interesting from a political science standpoint is that Texas is genuinely competitive at the statewide level in a way it wasn't 5 years ago. The demographic shifts in the major metro areas, Dallas-Fort Worth, Houston, Austin, San Antonio, have created a plausible path for a Democrat running the right kind of race. Tallarico's bet is that economic anxiety outweighs culture war activation in a high turnout environment. Whether that's correct will tell us a lot about where Texas politics is actually headed.
Moving to New York, the NYC primaries with $30 million flooding the races represent a test of Zohran Mamdani's organizational and political influence. Mamdani has built real infrastructure and a real base in New York progressive politics. And these primaries are essentially a stress test of whether that infrastructure can translate into wins for candidates he's aligned with at scale. The $30 million figure tells you how contested these races are. That's an enormous sum for city-level primaries.
Meanwhile, JFK grandson Jack Schlossberg is engaged in his own $56 million battle in the NY12 primary. That race has become something of a proxy contest for what kind of Democrat the party wants to run in a heavily Democratic New York district, the legacy brand versus the activist infrastructure model. The money flowing into both races reflects the fact that national donors on multiple sides of the Democratic coalition have decided these primaries are worth investing in.
The Trump endorsement situation in South Carolina is genuinely unusual. After backing candidates who lost in Iowa and Georgia, the president has now endorsed both Pamela Yvette and Alan Wilson in the GOP gubernatorial runoff. Endorsing both candidates in a two-person race is a way of maintaining the appearance of political influence while hedging against the continued embarrassment of backing losers. It's also, practically speaking, meaningless as an endorsement. A dual endorsement provides no directional signal to voters.
In Washington, the Senate panel eyeing a vote to block the transfer of special education oversight to HHS is a story that sounds procedural, but isn't. The question of whether special education programs currently administered through the Department of Education should be moved to the Department of Health and Human Services touches on fundamental questions about how the federal government conceptualizes disability, learning, and child welfare. Advocates for disabled children have been vocal in opposing the transfer, arguing that folding special ed into HHS frameworks risks diluting the specific legal protections under IDEA, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. A bipartisan Senate pushback would be a significant check on the administration's reorganization plans.
There's also the Maine Senate race update worth noting. Maine's largest public union has backed Plattner for Senate, which is significant in a state where public sector union membership remains relatively high and organized labor endorsements carry real mobilizing capacity. Maine's Senate race shapes up as one of several competitive contests that will determine the chamber's balance in the next cycle.
And then there's the Gallup finding that fewer than half of Americans now believe that everyone can achieve the American dream. This is a data point with deep political implications, because the belief in upward mobility and the accessibility of success has historically been one of the structural pillars of American political consensus. When you drop below 50% on that metric, you're describing a country where a majority of people think the system is structurally exclusionary rather than just individually challenging. That belief shift is fuel for political disruption across the spectrum.